We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, again, we ask that you guide us as we study another precious section of the Word which you have given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you reveal the treasures which are hidden in it to us, to each of us, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 9, verses 57 to 62, following Jesus. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. So they're on their way to Jerusalem, where the Son of God is going to be handed over to men, and he will suffer and die. And a certain man came to him. Matthew tells us he was a scribe. And this man was himself a teacher who had graduated from law school, we could say, and was qualified by the Jewish authorities to teach. A scribe was one who was a seminary professor. His profession was the interpretation of the Old Testament scriptures and the rabbinical traditions. Now, as we know, many of the scribes were also Pharisees, and they were arch enemies of Jesus. But this man was not. He was an exception. He made an offer to Jesus, and what better offer could he have made? Lord, calling him Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. No strings attached. Just a promise. This is what I'll do to the bitter end. The Lord Jesus, as he looked at this man, realized that his offer was too complete and he hadn't thought it through. So that there was a price to be paid for following him, and the Lord knew that, and he wasn't so sure that the Pharisee did, or the scribe. But so he says to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So Jesus didn't decline the offer, but he didn't accept it either. And looking at it from the human side of it, why didn't he? What better thing could he have had? The guy said, Lord, I'll follow you right on to the end. But it wouldn't have been fair to the man not to sort of settle him down a little bit and let him know exactly what he's getting into. The first parable Jesus ever taught was the parable of the sower and the seed. And there was four types of ground, and one type of ground, when the seed fell on it, accepted it with joy right away. But then when trials came, it fell away. And so, as good as this offer sounds, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest, it may not be genuine. The Lord Jesus opens the volume of nature and reads two pages to this man about the foxes and the birds. And the Lord Jesus created both. And he puts himself under his creation, as it were. Foxes have their dens. They got a place to sleep. And birds have nests, but I have neither. Jesus was constantly on the move. He had no fixed home. And a lot of times he spent his nights in the mountains. This is not to say, however, that Jesus was a pauper, because he didn't live in poverty. The group that he was with, mainly the 12 disciples, they had some money in the bank, you could put it that way. And they had a purse and a treasurer who handled the money. That was Judas Iscariot. And there was enough in there that sometimes they could have give to the poor. And there was enough in there that that Judas could swipe some of it under the darkness of night for his own good. And there were women who followed Jesus. Many were wealthy, and they supported his ministry. So it wasn't like he didn't have anything. But there's a balance here that's always struck. It's not wrong for a child of God to have money or earthly possessions. That's not wrong at all. What would be wrong is if they didn't follow God's will and went their own way with it. That would be very wrong. But it's not money that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And this is a matter of the heart. So this first example was a man who, we could almost say, volunteered his obedience too fast. He didn't know enough. Now we come another. He said unto another, follow me. So the first man volunteered. The second man is given a command. And Jesus said, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Which on the surface of it sounds all right. But the Lord had called him. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. I believe that means let the spiritually dead bury their spiritually dead. Sounds like the man's father wasn't a believer. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So the scribe offered to follow Jesus too quickly. And this man is given a command to follow Jesus, but he delays. We tend to feel sorry for the guy. And we're supposed to honor our fathers and our mothers and love them and be helpful to them. But here, the man had a direct command of Christ, and that command was follow me, and you do that now. But the other man had a condition to go along with it. First guy didn't, but this one did. First, there's something else. And Jesus' reply sounds crass, but it really isn't. His father was not a believer, and that makes a difference. And let the spiritually dead bury their spiritually dead. But you come and you spread the gospel. So funerals really are for the survivors. And if the dead person is an unbeliever, what comfort can you really give? What comfort can you really give? So you don't let that take away from, it's not wrong to go to funerals, but if you've got a command of Christ to follow, you should follow it and not be waylaid by heathen people. So we had an example in the life of Jesus when he was giving a Bible study to people, and his mother and his brothers came and they wanted to talk with him, and the house was overflowing and they were standing on the outside looking in, and they sent a messenger to Jesus to tell him we want to talk with him. And we know from other parts of the gospel what they wanted to talk to him about. They thought he was going crazy, he was out of his mind, and you better stop doing this, you better stop preaching the way you're preaching, or you're not going to have anybody left. That was what they wanted to clue him in on. And he said, who is my mother, and who are my brothers? And then he looked around at the people, and he said, you know, whoever will do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And if this sounds mean, it's not. Christ isn't mean, and he did honor his mother, but he had another calling here, and she was not going to deter him from it. So then another guy comes along. Another one also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but, now there's a condition, But let me first go bid farewell to them which are at home at my house. And Jesus said to him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. When you come to Christ, it has to be unconditional, but it has to be a knowledgeable commitment. Not like the first guy, and not like the second and third one either. They had conditions. I'll do this, but no, there are no conditions. When in Genesis chapter 22, which, by the way, is the occurrence of the first word love in Scripture, opening verses are, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. He tested him and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So what did Abraham do? Sun rose. Was he still sacked out? Boy, and I really don't like doing what I'm going to have to do today, so I'm going to spend a little extra time sacked out and maybe get up at 1 or 2 in the afternoon. That's not what he did. He obeyed God immediately. Abraham rose up early in the morning. And there's a lesson here. When you know what God's will is and he commands you to do something, don't delay. You get at it right away. The devil tries tricks on this stuff. The servant was sent to get a wife for Isaac. And you know the story. He prayed for God's guidance, and everything worked out the way he had hoped that it would, and God guided him to the right woman. And so they came back into her father's house and had a meal. And picking up in Genesis 24, verse 54 to 59, Genesis 24, And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. There's nothing wrong with that. And they rose up in the morning, and he, the servant, said, Send me away unto my master. The next verse says this. It starts with and, but in the King James translation, a lot of times you can substitute the word but. It's the same word. It's interpretation. So we're going to translate it but. So they said, the servant said, Send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days. And don't go right away. Let's just don't be rush about this. And at least 10. And after that she shall go. Well, the servant knew very well what that could lead to. He said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. We're not going to wait around for 10 days. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. Let's let her make the decision, which wasn't bad. So they called Rebekah and said to her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she didn't say, Well, you know, I'm going to be leaving my family. I love my mother. I love my father. I'm going to have all my relatives. I'm going to have to leave. I'm going to have to leave my home country. Let me stay a while. She didn't say that. Wilt thou go with this man? She said, I will go. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I will go. What God's will is, I'm going to do. So they sent her away. But it could have gone the other way if they had delayed. That's the point. And, the cost of discipleship is high. It doesn't cost you anything to have Christ, but it'll cost you everything you've got to keep him. And it's a deal that's well worth making. He says in Matthew 10:37, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Well, we're supposed to love our mother and father, right? Yeah. And we're supposed to love our children, right? Yeah. But not more than God. We shouldn't make the mistake of loving the gift more than the giver. So, it's total commitment. And anybody that doesn't give total commitment is not fit for the kingdom of God. That's the point. And I don't know how the first guy ended up, but the second and third guy in the text probably lost their faith. You, if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you're not worthy. And from what I've read, especially in the olden days, when you had to get out there with a plow and you're putting your hand is in back of it and the horse is pulling it or whatever, if you look back, you're not gonna plow in a straight line. You just won't. You can't drive that way with power steering. If you glance over to the right or left, the car swerves over. I do it all the time. And so that's the same way it is with the kingdom of God. Delaying is dangerous. Now, there's one section of scripture that I want to look at. And it's in 1 Kings chapter 13. And this thing is filled with valuable, valuable instruction. Probably not going to read the whole chapter, but let's get started. Chapter 13 of 1 Kings. Behold, there came a man of God. A prophet. We don't know his name, but he was a man of God. He came out of Judah by the word of the Lord. God commanded this prophet, this is what I want you to do. And the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. So Bethel was corrupt at this time, and Jeroboam was also. And God is sending this prophet to speak to him. So, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord. This is what the prophet's doing. He's obeying so far. He went and he said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord. Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave him a sign, the same, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. Now, we could say a lot about this, but the main point was still coming yet. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again. So he's lost his hand. The altar also was rent. That's what the prophet said would happen. And the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Okay, so the king answered and said to the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, I pray thee, and pray for me that my hand may be restored me again. So now the king wants a miracle. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again and became as it was before. Now watch how Satan works. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. Okay, so you've had quite a long journey. You're probably pretty hungry. Come on to my house. I'm wealthy, I've got good food. Come to my hell, refresh yourself, rest a little bit before you go back, and I'll give you a reward. You know, I got a lot of money, I could do that. But the man of the, now the King James says and here, but we can translate it but, it's a contrast. So, but the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water for this place. Well, why not? For it was so charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. Don't do that. I want you to get in there, give your message, and then get out of there. And don't go out the same way you came in. They're going to be looking for you to kill you. So get go in and out. Get there, preach, write the sermon, get out of the way. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Oh, see. So that didn't work. Now watch what the devil does. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, a gray-haired prophet. That's important. See how the devil works here. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Okay, so there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came to Judah. So they saw the road that he was taken out of town. It wasn't the one that he took coming in town, but they saw him go another way. And the sons told him that. The father said, which way did he go? And he said, and they told him. And then the old prophet, remember he's old, gray-haired, he said to his sons, saddle me the ass. So he saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and he went after the man of God. And now we see a red light blinking. He found him sitting under an oak. So why was he doing that? Well, maybe he was tired. I don't know. For some reason, though, he didn't obey the command of God. God said, go preach your sermon and get out of the country. So he went, he preached his sermon. He survived the first test. He didn't go to the king. But he didn't leave the country either. He sat down under an oak tree. Maybe it was hot and he wanted to rest and cool off a little bit. Whatever. It doesn't make any difference. The point is, he disobeyed God. That's the point. And he probably figured, well, I got time anyway. I can do it my own way. And so the old prophet found him sitting under the tree and said to him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Yeah, I'm the one. Then he, the old prophet, said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And the young guy, the young prophet, said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said unto me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again by the way that thou camest. So far, so good. But the point right now is he shouldn't have been visited by the old prophet in the first place. If he'd have obeyed God and gotten out of the country, everything would have been fine. But he sat down to rest, maybe in the shade of the old oak tree or whatever, and the prophet found him. The old guy found him and invited him to his house, and the guy said, no, this is what God told me to do. And now get in, I'm supposed to get out of there. Now listen to this. The old prophet, he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. Okay. So, what's the younger guy thinking? Well, you know, this guy's been in the ministry for years and years and years, and I'm just getting a start, just graduated from the seminary less than a year ago, and he probably knows a lot more than I do, and I'm supposed to honor the older people. And so he's being cowed by this. It's an old prophet that's saying this. And he said unto them, I am a prophet just like you are. We're standing on equal ground. And an angel, this is the old guy talking, and an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back unto thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. That's what Scripture says. So, you know, Paul made a remark one time, you know, we're preaching the word of God to you, and if anybody contradicts what we're saying and tries to lead you away what God's word really is, even if it's an angel, don't listen to him. You've got Scripture. Scripture is given by the Holy Spirit. You pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And even if an angel comes down and tells you something that goes against Scripture, don't listen to him. So here this old man, well, yeah, he's a prophet, is he? Well, yeah, he was a prophet, but he was a false prophet. And he didn't tell the young man that. He said, I'm a prophet just like you are, implying, and I've had a lot more experience. You know, I've been in this a lot longer than you have, and I know a lot more than you do. And this angel came to me by the Lord. The Lord sent an angel to me, which was a bunch of baloney. But at least he didn't say it was God that told him, but he sure intimated it, didn't he? An angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord. I know God's word too, as well as you do. And he said, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may bring. And that goes directly against what God had spoken to the young prophet, one-on-one. And now, just because this other guy claims to be a prophet and he's older than the younger one, he's pulling the age card. So the younger guy sucks into it. He went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. You see how cunning and clever the serpent is. Sometimes acting like a roaring lion, other times sneaking under the cover of a sly serpent. Hiding, just like he did it Eve in the Garden of Eden. Didn't God say that you could eat of all the trees? Isn't that right? Well, yeah, all except one. And if we eat of that one, we're going to die. No, you won't die. That's not right. God's trying to trick you. He's trying to keep something from you. If you eat of that forbidden tree, you're going to be just like God, and he doesn't want that. It's the same game plan over and over and over. We are not ignorant of his devices. So how did this all end up? Well, it ended up that, and you should read the rest of this account yourself at home. The young man was killed. He never got back home. He was killed by a lion. And the oddity of it is, the lion didn't maul his body, he just killed him and then sat there beside the corpse. That's all he did. It was obviously controlled by God. The lion wasn't hungry and he ate a meal out of the prophet. He just killed him like God told him to, and then he sat down and waited. And that lasted quite a while. But the point of it is, don't delay. Obedience to God is the key thing in everything. That's the thing. And if we try to put conditions on it or we delay it, we're in spiritual danger. I don't know if this young guy was elect or not. My guess is that he went to hell. That's my thought. He disobeyed God. He knew what God told him to do, and he started out doing it, but then he failed right at the end. And the command is, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. So you can go 99% of the way and lose it right at the end. That's sad. We certainly don't want that to happen. I have heard a lot of false prophets coming, false doctrines coming from aged prophets that have the gray hair. And they look so godly and sound like they're at the right hand of Christ himself. But you got to check what they say. You really have to check what we say. Satan infiltrates the visible church with false prophets. And there's too much at stake here to just take what they say as gospel truth. We're not playing for peanuts. Eternity's involved here. And it's the Word. They have the Word. That's it. And we've got the Word. And let's not let anyone take it from us. That's the point.